It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Let's start from verse 1.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
Okay, now here we see, the word of God said the serpent was very smart, very crooked, and a very deceiving kind of person will not know that how he was smart. There are some people are smart and some people are smart in crookedness. So he was the one, the serpent was just the animal, a creature. If you remember, last week we learned God said to Adam, find companion. And Adam named each and every animal. He could not find any companion. So I was thinking at that particular time, the serpent might be a beautiful animal. Because after the curse, he start crawling on his belly. So before that, he might be standing on his feet and talking. Now here, the word of God says, serpent comes and talks. I think all the animals' language, Adam knew. And the animals might be talking to him and he understood what they're talking and what their needs are. Otherwise, if the serpent start talking, Eve should be running and going to her husband. What happened? I never heard this animal talking, and she would not be talking. But I think this was not unusual for her. They were talking. So what the devil is, the Satan is the called deceiver. Satan is called the enemy of God. And so when God cursed him, and he sent him to the earth. Actually, earth was not created when the angel was thrown out of heaven. So that's why we call him. He is the powers and principalities of the air. When God created mankind, why God created mankind, I already told you last time. But let me tell you why God created mankind. God created mankind to worship him, to praise him, to glorify him, and to have fellowship with the mankind. That's why God created the mankind. And here the enemy comes, because we do not know, after God created Adam and Eve, they were created according to his will and according to his image. That means they were smart, they had all the wisdom and godliness. Now here when this enemy sees this, I'm talking about the devil, Satan. He got a little bit jealous. So he thought, these people are living happily, joyfully. I'm going to try to deceive them. And that's what his idea was. If you read in St. John chapter 8, verse 44.
You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Now see, when he speaks lies, nobody taught him lie. He speaks his own. He is a liar, he is a murderer, he is a killer. So now he comes to destroy mankind. And how he comes? He comes very cunning way. Now when you say he deceived the woman, but the woman's name was Adam. We will be learning that in the Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. But here he's saying Adam and his wife, both they were called Adam. Why? Because they were equal. We learned last week the man had the woman inside of him. And God took the woman out of man. And so, here we see, even though he comes to the woman, but at the same time, he comes to the Adam. That's why we say Adam committed sin. But at the same time, Adam did commit sin willingly. We will be seeing this. So he comes to the woman. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 2.
And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
When God gave the command to Adam, I don't think that woman was created that time. So God said to Adam, Do not eat this fruit which is in the middle of the garden, and that fruit is called the knowledge of good and evil. So he commanded him. Now the man thought in his mind, maybe she will go and touch it. Maybe she will go and eat it. Let me tell her, please don't eat and don't touch even. If you touch, you will die. I don't know, Adam told her, but she is telling, that means somewhere she got this message. So I'm just believing God didn't say don't touch. So maybe Adam told her to not to touch. So she said, we can eat all the fruits freely, but we cannot touch this fruit, even eat or touch. So he got the idea. Now she got some words mixed up. If I touch, I will die. He would have said, go ahead and touch. You're not going to die, because God did not say if you touch, you will die. So she's not going to die even though she touches. So he might have said, why don't you go and touch and see what happens? She might have touched it, nothing happened. See, God was lying to you. So you didn't die. So why don't you take and eat? And so she took it and she ate it. And I was thinking in my mind, where was this Adam? When God told Adam, keep the garden, be watchful, you have dominion over this, subdued everything, and you are the king of this garden. Where was the king? King was somewhere, and maybe the lady told him, I'm going to look some flowers and fruits all around. You stay here. The lady is supposed to be with husband, and husband supposed to be with a wife. At that time, they didn't have any job. They should work together. So now the husband let her go. And even though she is talking to this serpent, he can listen to the voice. I don't think he was too far away. The devil took the form of the serpent, so the Adam didn't have much fear, because she might be going and talking to many animals and, you know, patting them and, you know, talking to them. So he could not doubt her. She's going to do anything wrong. But here, word of God says, the Adam was not with her. But when she eats the fruit, and she start giving to her husband. Let's read the verse 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now see, the devil is saying, God told you when you eat you will die. You will not surely die. God said, you'll surely die. The Satan says, not going to surely die. So exact opposite things the devil tells you. When somebody prays for you and devil tells you, you are not going to heal, and God is not going to heal you, what you supposed to think? That means I am going to get healed. The devil is always a liar. Don't believe devil. So hear what God says. Devil comes against and he starts telling a lie. So the word of God is saying the devil is a liar and he brings the lie. So he deceived the woman. Let's read the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 4.
And such trust have we through Christ to Godward.
So what he's trying to say, you trust in God, in Christ, but you do not trust the devil. The word of God is saying in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, if anyone comes and preach another gospel, or comes and tells you another news, which is not biblical news, Do not trust, do not believe. Please read.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
See, the word of God is saying, if anyone preaches the another gospel, that person should be cursed. Now, God told this Adam, do not eat this forbidden fruit. Now, somebody comes and tells you, no, God said something wrong. Listen to me. What does it mean? That person is going to be cursed. And now we see here how God curses the people who brings the wrong messages. Let's go to the Genesis 3:6. You didn't read 5? Okay, go 5 and 6.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Yes.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
The devil tells her, actually serpent, but the devil took a form of serpent. So the devil tells her, eat this fruit, and you will be just like God. You are not going to die. So she listens to the devil, and she starts looking at the fruit. All of a sudden, her mind is mesmerized, and now she is thinking the fruit differently. She thinks, wow, this fruit is good, even to look at it. Looking, when I look this fruit, I never saw this fruit, the better looking fruit. I saw so many fruits, but this is one of the best. And so she started thinking about it. And then she said, if I eat this fruit, I'm going to be wise. How does she know? But she started thinking about it, and then she wants it. If you concentrate on the wrong thing, you will do the wrong thing. The whatever you think, that's what you're going to do. If somebody says, I'm going to murder somebody, you better believe it. Today or tomorrow, he is going to murder somebody. And so the whatever you think in your mind, that's what you're going to do. So she starts thinking, this fruit is good for me. It's looking good. It might be tasting good. It might make me wise. Let's read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. The word of God says, every tree, everything what God has created, it was good.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
See, every tree and every fruit was pleasant to eyes and good for food. This lady was not hungry. She had so many things to eat. She was not hungry. She was not even dumb. She said, I'm going to eat and I'll be smarter. There are so many people selling today pills. Eat these pills, your brain will work. Eat this pill, you'll lose your weight. Eat this pill, and sometimes they don't do anything. But they can entice you, and you pay the money, and you lose the money, and nothing happens. There are some doctors, when you go to the doctor and complain about, I have this pain, and you keep on bugging the doctor. And doctor says, you know why these people, she's bugging me. So he gives the sugar pill. And then say, take it 3 times a day. And she takes it. How do you feel? I feel better. Okay, keep on taking. And no medicine at all. But once the person thinks, doctor gave me the best medicine, something psychologically work in the system, and they get healed. So what I'm trying to say, this lady start thinking, whatever the serpent is saying about this food or fruit, it has to be good. And so she took it, she ate it, and then she comes and she says she gave it to her husband. I don't know, her husband was standing beside her, or she has to look for him. Honey, I got something for you. please just eat and see how you feel. He might have said, didn't God told us not to eat? Oh, you something missing because the serpent told me, if you eat it, you'll be just like God. I feel some sensation. I feel something good in my spirit. I think this is very good. Please eat, please eat. He might have said, no, I'm not going to. Oh, you don't love me. If you love me, please eat this fruit. Do you know Samson and Delilah? This lady wanted to kill him, and many, many times she asked him something, and he gave the wrong answer. And then she comes and cries again, oh, you didn't love me, you told me lie, and you didn't tell me the truth. And finally crying and crying and crying, and somehow she deceived the man, and he became completely blind and fool. But some ladies, they like to manipulate. You say no, they cry. When they cry, you don't know what to do. When they cry, and they get their things. There are some children, before you can say anything, they start crying. And so the mother and father think we are in the shopping center. This child is crying. What do you want? I want this toy. Okay, go ahead. Come home and start beating that child. But in front of other people, they feel so good. I am a good parent. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. So the children learn. If I cry, I get it. And so she might have cried. He has nothing saying. But how she convinced him, the God says don't eat, and the wife says eat, that means she has some convincing power. She got his attention. And he said, okay, I love you. If you die, I'll die. We die together. There are so many stories. If you love somebody, and they love one another, I'm talking about the teenagers, and the father says, this is not a good husband for you, and the mother says, this is not a good wife for you, and then everybody fighting. All the people are fighting about these young people. So what they say? You know what? We are going to go to the lake, and we jumping in the lake, both of us together. Murder yourself or kill yourself, you're going against will of God, you're going to go to hell. And they might be surprised as soon as they die, they go to hell and everybody's crying and they cannot even see their boyfriend or girlfriend. So the point I'm making, this man, I'm talking about Adam, willingly, willfully, God says don't eat. Now he has to make up his mind. But he willingly listened to the wife and died spiritually. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Now, can you imagine? These people living in a garden for many, many years. It sounded like a next day. But I think they lived a long, long time. And they were not afraid of God. Do you know when you are afraid of somebody? When you do something wrong. If your son loves the father, and I love my dad, and I'm not going to sleep. Mommy said, go to bed. Your father is going to be late today. No, mommy, I'm going to wait. My daddy brings candy. My daddy brings this. I'm not going to sleep. I want to see my daddy. If he makes some mistakes, and you say, let your daddy come. I'm going to tell him what you did, and he's going to punish you. Mommy, I'm going to sleep tonight early. I don't want to see daddy. So once you make a mistake, you don't want to see your boss, you don't want to see your husband, you don't want to see your father. And that's what happened here. They came to know. They made a mistake. Up to now, they never felt they are naked. Why? Because they were innocent. Last week we learned. When you're innocent like a childlike faith, you don't feel any nakedness. You don't feel any sin because your mind is pure like God. And so now they were pure-minded. They were not afraid of anything. Now, as soon as both of them ate the fruit, now they came to know we are naked. The Word of God says, God gave the mankind the God's glory. When the man was living in the presence of God, he had the covering of the glory of God. Book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, please read.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
See, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All the power of God, the glory of God, the presence of God, the wisdom of God, and everything left. And so they felt like helpless. Not only that, they were afraid. But here they were hiding themselves because they thought, if God will come, first thing he's going to ask us, you ate the fruit? So they thought, we will hide under the trees. And so when God comes, God is not going to see us. And so they were thinking that they are going to hide themselves. Read the 139 Psalms. And if you read verses 7 to 12, the psalmist says, where am I going to hide myself from the Lord? Wherever I go, God is there. Please read.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
So the psalmist says, I learned one thing. I cannot hide from God. Darkness, light, or any other place I go, God is always there. But the Adam and Eve, they lost the knowledge of God. So now they're thinking, if I hide under the tree or under the bushes, God will not know us. And they camouflaged, they took the fig leaves and put it all around them. You see the military, when they go in jungle, they cover them with the trees and plants so nobody can see. I think they got the idea from Adam and Eve. Cover ourselves with the leaves. But the Word of God says God knows everything about you. You can hide from your husband. You can hide from your wife. You can hide from your boss. You can hide from your father. You cannot hide from God. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. He doesn't need x-ray machine to see if there is a cancer in your body. He knows everything. But we run to doctors or run to hospital. I'm not saying it's bad because everybody doesn't have faith. But if you run to God and say, Lord, here I am. What's wrong with me? God will tell you and God will heal you. I told you one time, and if you didn't remember, I'll tell you again. One lady went for checkup. And she went for checkup and doctor told her, that was a Jewish doctor. Doctor told her, your both breasts are full of cancer. It's advanced cancer. And the lady was a Christian lady. And she never went for checkup, so she didn't know what she had. And so she said, oh Lord, why did you hide this from me? If I had the cancer, if you would have told me earlier, I would have prayed, I would have resisted. So she said to the doctor, doctor, wait a minute, I'll be back. So doctors thought maybe she wants to go to bathroom or something. She had still this white sheet of cloth. So she ran to the mountain and she started praying and started crying. Lord, please take this cancer away. Touch me and heal me. I know you can do it. And she prayed and prayed and cried, and the rain came and came on her and all the dirt and everything, and her clothes became so dirty and filthy because of dust and rain. And the police car was going on that road, so police stopped. Why this lady in this rain standing and crying? So he said, ma'am, what you doing here? She thought the doctor sent somebody to catch me. Officer, please don't hurt me. I'll come. She said, where do you want to go? I'll come to the hospital. I ran from there. So the man took her to the hospital. She calls the doctor. Doctor, please come and check me again. Doctor thought she's crazy. I just was checking. She ran away. And now 1 hour or 2 hours, and she said, check me again. He checked. No trace of cancer. How it happened? God healed her completely. So what I'm trying to say, God knows much more better than any doctor or you yourself. So he says, God sees everything, open door, closed door, dark place, light place, anywhere. You cannot hide from God. You just say, Lord, here I am. We just read Psalm 139. If you read last couple of verses, what he says, search me, check me. If there is anything sin or anything wrong in me, and God will do it. We have to run to God. Any problem you have, you go to Jesus Christ. There is nothing impossible with God. He can do it. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 9.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Adam, where are you? Their husband and wife maybe think, we tricked him. He doesn't know where we are. And we did the right thing, hiding ourselves, and now he doesn't know where we are. Do you think God didn't know where they were? Yes, he knew them. But God wanted them to say where they are. Okay, let's read verse 10.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
See what he's saying? The Adam is saying, God, I heard your voice. You're walking in the garden. Now, each time in the cool of the day, God would come and minister to them and talk with them, and they would have fellowship with God. And they heard his feet, his sound. And they say, hey, God is coming. Let's hide. But God says, Adam, where are you? He said, well, I am afraid. I'm naked. I'm afraid. See, in the presence of God, there is no fear. But when you're running away, why are you running away? Because you have committed sin. That's why people are running away. Why people do not go to church, do you know? Because the sin, the fear of God. God is loving and kind, but they know that God is going to punish us. And if you go to the heathen countries, their God is a very scary God. So the people are afraid of God. Well, we are not afraid of God. We respect our God. We love our God. And so these people were afraid. The word of God says where the fear comes, the enemy gives the fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, please read.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
God had not given us the spirit of fear. If God didn't give it to you, who gave it to you? The devil gave it to you. Anytime the fear comes, you should know that is not from God. If anyone gives you some kind of fear, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. What happens? The fear comes. You should be saying, God has not given me the spirit of fear. God has given me what? God has given me power, love, and sound mind. Once you have fear, your mind doesn't work. Your mind starts thinking and so several things. Negative will come. So what the word of God is saying, we have to be boldly saying to the enemy, I'm not going to be afraid of you because God loves me. And the word of God said, the love casteth out the fear. If you love God, the fear will not stand. So we love God and we follow God, then the fear of anything will go away. So when you are afraid of something, that is not from God. That is from enemy. And the word of God says, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. And the Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So why we worry? If you have Jesus, and Jesus promised you to give you abundant life, then if the doctor says, or the lawyer says, or your enemy says, something negative happened to you, you should run to God and say, Lord, your word says that you do not give this kind of fear, but you give me a power, love, and sound mind. You came to give me abundant life, so I'm going to live in abundance. That's what the Christian people are supposed to live. Don't be afraid of all these fear tactics. God is your source. So we should not be afraid of anything. The fear is from the devil. And so we should not be worried about that. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 11.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
Now here God asked him two questions. He says, Who told you that you are naked? And did you eat the forbidden fruit? Now see what he said. He never gave him the right answer. This is what the people do. You have to learn yes, yes, no, no. More than that is sin. But here he's saying, what is his answer? Let's read verse 12.
And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
Pass it on to somebody else. They never take the guilt on them. Jesus is the only one. He was not guilty. God said, I'm putting all people's sin on you. And he never said any word to anybody. And he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They knew what they were doing. They were killing him. They were destroying him. But they did not know really that was their Messiah. But here the word of God is saying, you should be always telling the truth. There is a saying, truth always wins. If you lie, then you got problem. And so now you got 10 people asked 10 questions and you forgot what did you say in the first place. And so you get so confused. So now they have tactic. If the thief doesn't say the truth or a murderer, they will wake him up in the middle of the night in a sleep. And the person will say, I put it somewhere, I took it somewhere. So people do not want to tell the truth, but there are some people wants to take the truth out of them. They know how to do it. God, he knows everything. He knows his name. He knows where they're hiding. He knows who gave them fruit. He knows everything. But the man says, instead of saying, I ate it, I made a mistake, Lord, I'm sorry, now I feel naked, I feel shame, I have so much problem, before that I was happy and joyful, I want my peace back, my joy back, but he said, you know what, you made a mistake. I was happy without a wife, you gave me that lady, she messed me up, that's what the problem is. And so you are trying to say, God made a mistake. What the word of God says? God created everything and he said it was good. God says it is not good that man should be alone. So he made the helpmate. Did God make a mistake? No. God did the right thing. But he said, you gave me that lady. You gave me that the wife. Before that, I was happy. I was not doing anything wrong. Because of her, this thing happened to me. Okay, please read verse 13.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Now here he's saying, What is this? Why did you do this? You would now ask your husband, This serpent is talking to me to eat this fruit. Don't you think you should be asking your husband's permission to eat the fruit? The point I'm making, sometimes when somebody does something wrong, they do not want to take a blame. Now this lady, she got the answer. She is passing on to somebody else. The man passed it on the lady, and lady passed it on to whom? The serpent. He said, the serpent gave it to me. He deceived me. Now she's guilty, but she's saying, I didn't take it, I didn't do it. The serpent deceived me. He beguiled me, and he mesmerized me. And that's what happened. Okay, now he goes to the serpent. Let's read verse 14. Genesis 3:14.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Now here, God is not talking to Satan. He's talking to the serpent. And I was thinking, when God made all animals 2x2. Now the serpent might be having a female serpent too. But here the God is saying, you know what? The devil used you as a tool. And so now what I'm going to do, the devil will get his curse, but now he's saying, I am going to curse you. Now you are standing and talking and walking. I'm going to curse you. You are going to walk on your belly. And what you're going to do, you are going to eat dust. Devil is not eating, actual devil is not eating dust, but the serpent is eating dust. You never saw him eating dust, but if he doesn't have anything to eat, he will eat the dust. And you will see in Isaiah 65, verse 25, please read, in the millennium, the serpent will be eating dust only, nothing else. Today he can eat mouse and a cat and rat and he can bite people, but in millennium he has to eat only a dust.
The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord.
So the serpent's food will be the dust. Now see, here is the some lesson. Sometimes the person who is rich, he wants to kill somebody. Do you know what they do? They take a hitman. Hey, you go and kill somebody. I give you $1 million. Okay, give me $1 million and I'll kill somebody. So that's what the serpent did. The Satan says, you're going to deceive. Okay, I'll do it. And so what happens when the case comes? The hitman gets punishment, and the person who got the hitman, he gets the punishment. So here, the serpent got punishment. He has to walk in his belly, and he has to eat the, what do you call, dust. Okay, let's go to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Now here we see, actually, the serpent does these things. If you are living in African jungle, India jungle, when the snake comes, they don't jump to your neck. They always bite your heel. And what you do, when you have a good shoes and no weapon, you find the snake and crush him, his head. If you cut his tail or half a part, that snake will still crawl and go away. So if you want to kill the snake, you crushed his head. That's the way you can kill the snake. So he says, you and your children, means all the snakes and their babies, they bite. Because Satan does not have children. But the word of God says, if somebody listens to the Satan, then they will be his children. We just read in a book of St. John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, He is the father of all liars. So he is a father of liars, but he cannot produce any children. Only children he produces, whoever follows his doctrine, his teaching. Those are his seeds, those are his children. But the serpent has his own babies. So we are talking about two different things. When he says to serpent, you will eat the dust, devil is not eating dust, the regular serpent is eating dust. And so here we see, when God says to him, now you are going to bruise the heel of people, actually the devil was not only bruising the Jesus' heel, but he's actually tried to kill him. Once I crucified him, it's done. And so he thought, I will have victory over it. Jesus Christ came into this world, as soon as he was a baby, the devil wants to kill him. Then each time God protected, but each time God protected Jesus from the enemy. When the enemy killed him on the cross, they thought it's end of it. Even the Jewish people thought, we get rid of this Jesus, now he cannot preach, he cannot do anything. But they didn't know, if we kill Jesus, he has 12 disciples, and he has 500 more other people, and many other people will be coming and doing the same thing. So they crucified Jesus Christ. But what the Word of God is saying, read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Once the devil is out of your life, then you will be all right. Okay.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And he did. So he has given us the same power, same authority over the demonic forces. Some people call me, oh, Pastor Peter, in my house there is a demon. Oh, Pastor Peter, and my son is demon-possessed and this and that. I say, are you born again? And some people are teaching you, when you are born again, still the curse of God is over you. I'll be coming to that. But once you are born again, child of God, the fear is gone, the curse is gone, and the devil is under your foot. Devil cannot rule over you. Only devil rules on the people who are not a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the god of this world has blinded, what? Not the eyes, the blinded the minds of the unbeliever. Please read.
In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
See, so we don't have to be afraid. The devil cannot blind you. He can only blind the minds of the unbelievers. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, devil runs. When you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus, devil has no power over you. He cannot do anything to you because Jesus Christ is Lord over everything. Devil has to run. Go to the Galatians chapter 4 and start reading from verse 4 to 6.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
See, here the Word of God is saying, God sent the Redeemer. We will be reading a little bit further, but God sent the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind. That is the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ came through the Virgin Mary. And the people still do not know how it happened. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. And John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When the Mary said, let it be according to your word, as soon as she believed it, she became pregnant. And so there is a power in the Word of God. Okay, please read up to 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
See, Once we believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what God does, He says, I'm going to give you the same spirit, same power, same authority what Jesus had, so you could call me Abba Father. He takes the spirit of Christ and He gives to you, so you can call Him Abba Father. So we are the children of God. The devil tried to kill, steal, destroy, but once Jesus Christ comes, He gives us abundant life, His own life to us. So we are not ordinary people. Let's go back to the Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
See here he says to the woman, because you did this, when you get pregnant, you will have pain. In pregnancy, you have morning sickness, then the baby start kicking you, and you have some pain, and then you will be having uncomfortable life until 9 or 10 months. And then when you trying to deliver the baby, you got some kind of pain, and so much pain, you think like you are going to die. The Word of God says there will be pain. They're like a death pain. You will have that kind of pain and suffering, but at the same time, as soon as the baby comes into this world, she forgets the pain. She looks at the baby and she forgets the pain. She will have another child and another child and another child. And some countries, they have 10, 15 children. But some countries, they have restriction. What the Word of God is saying, the lady will not hate the husband, but she will have craving for his love. Okay, let's read verse 17.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Now what I'm going to do, we will come back next week, and we'll start from the verse 17. Shall we rise? We'll come back and start next week from Genesis chapter 17. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to Jesus Christ. Devil came to destroy the mankind. And today there are so many people still under the curse. Thank you for Jesus. You came to destroy the works of the devil. And you crushed him on the cross. You redeemed us. And you have given us the eternal life. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to tell somebody, if you need the blessings of God, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will have peace. You will have joy. All the curse of mankind will go away once you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you and we want to follow you. You have given us your supernatural power. So we are going to live in this world victoriously, telling others about Jesus Christ. Give us that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.